My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Oh, yeah. That was my question to Nick last night on the plane. Like, yeah. Hey, Colin Scouse, they're ready to go. And yeah. Caleb, right? So, yeah, he was like, yep, they're ready to go. Yeah. They'll have a report on, you know, on him for college. So, it's pretty cool, man. That's how the building works. Like, all the work that our scouts put in.
Right.
Like, as they're scouting college players, like, how important is that now? Because I don't have much of a background of Caleb and what he's done in college, but to be able to rely on our scouting department and their expertise in that area, and that's going to help us prepare for week two.
That was D'Amico Ryans on his coach's show yesterday with John Harris and Mark Vandermeer. Really good conversation. It's up on YouTube if you want to go find it. Talking about getting ready for Caleb Williams. I like to picture that conversation, D'Amico going up to Nick, Seth on the plane, and like, hey, how we doing on the Bears? Are we ready? And Nick being like, hey, man, we just got on the plane. Can we enjoy the Colts win till we at least touch ground back in Houston?
Yeah.
Jeez. Taskmaster. Yeah. Exactly, Nick.
That was Nick? You really? Yeah. I feel like Nick is already thinking about like 2 years down the line. And just, or he's probably watching film of some kid at Northern Illinois. Yeah. That is, by the way, that is one thing that is, it was always weird to me. The coaches and the scouts especially, but the coaches on Saturday are already looking ahead to the next week. It's weird. It always felt to me like, no, maintain laser focus, but they gotta start getting a feel for everything ahead of time for all of that stuff. So yeah, they're definitely probably talking about the Bears in some respect.
They got the scouts on it and everything. So first look ahead to the Bears here. Bears 1-0. They won a game against the Titans that empirically they probably didn't have much business winning. The Titans allowed a blocked punt for a touchdown. Will Levis threw just a horrendous pick six in that game to give the Bears the lead. Caleb Williams was 14 of 29 for 93 yards. Like, no touchdowns, no interceptions, just dinking and dunking and completing less than 50% of his passes.
It was a less impressive performance than David Carr's performance in the last time that a number one overall pick at quarterback won his first game in the NFL.
Yes.
David Carr, I don't even remember what his stat line was, but I think he did more good things and was a more consistent quarterback in that game than Caleb Williams was.
Caleb...
There was not nearly the amount of fanfare over David Carr as a prospect as there was Caleb Williams.
No, I'm both number one overall picks, but you're right. Caleb Williams has had the G word attached to him, generational. Caleb Williams, one of only two modern era quarterbacks in their debut to throw more than 25 times for less than 100 yards passing. The other one, Desmond Ridder. Desmond Ridder, who riddled the Texans for 329 yards last year in Atlanta's win over the Texans. But Desmond Ridder, in his debut, threw the ball more than 25 times for less than 100 yards.
So David Carr in that first game ever was, which they won. It was the last time a rookie quarterback.
You were on that team.
Sorry, yeah. That was, we were, but yeah. So it was the last time a quarterback a number one overall drafted quarterback won his season opener. He was 10 for 22 for 145 yards. So he broke the 100 mark. Two touchdowns, one interception.
Okay.
So it was a better performance out of David Carr. Boy, David didn't crack 60% completion until week six that year.
Oh, like in an individual game?
Yeah, he was no, it was a different time.
Yeah.
Not that much of a different time, but he was in the 50s. Well, the second week versus San Diego, he was 24% completion.
Jeez. I take it you didn't win that game.
6 for 25. Oh, no, God.
Oh, wow.
It was hot that day, too. That made it worse. It was really hot in Southern
that.
California. Oh, I totally remember. I remember it was one of the – it was the first time I'd played in San Diego, and I'm looking up, and I've never seen so many, like, shirtless dudes at an NFL game. You see that in college a lot. But I was looking around. I was like, man, this is a fit crowd here. This is – it wasn't like Buffalo Bills shirtless guys.
Yeah.
It was – I'm looking around like, this is a fun game to go to. A lot of good-looking Southern Californian men and women out here. I feel yeah.
San Diego's nice.
I'm having a miserable time, but I'm going to look at – I'm going to check out some of the women. Yeah.
It looks like fun. there's a video, a tweet floating around, a video, a Caleb Williams week one metaphor, and it's these guys. You got these guys that are picking up what looks like this heavy plate of glass or something like that, and you've got this one guy with them who's like sort of leaning in, like acting like he's about to help, but then backing away and kind of gesturing as to which way they should go, and then like as they're getting it lifted up and putting onto the back of the truck, this very heavy item that they're carrying, like the guy who's standing next to him is like almost helping them, but then once they get it onto the truck, he's like high-fiving them like he was part of it. that was kind of Caleb Williams. Like, he threw for 93 yards in a 24-17 win. That is what I get made fun of when our station, our cluster, does the volunteer thing we do every year where we go rebuild mm-hmm. somebody's house.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
In a poor part of town or whatever, yeah. Underprivileged part of town. Like, every year for, I think it's rebuilding together. We as a cluster go and we you know, completely, like, paint and revamp somebody's house. Usually it's an elderly person who can't mm-hmm. do it themselves. And my tendency at those things, because I'm the least handy person alive, you know, including even things like a paintbrush, I tend to walk around and supervise and keep people's spirits up, you know?
Yeah, you're not even, and it's not like you're supervising and paying attention. You look like a mobster that's there on one of those jobs where you're allowed to just show up and you get
paid
for it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a no-show. It's a two different categories.
It's a no-work.
A no-work, yeah. You have to show up, but you're not working. It's a no-work.
Yeah.
You might as well just be sitting there reading the horse racing stuff.
The Jersey Star Ledger with one of those little handheld fans.
Yeah.
Like underneath my neck, keeping my neck cool. Yeah.
I remember one day I was out there on a ladder just drenched in sweat painting, and I looked down and you drinking a nice icy cold, like the last cold Gatorade. Yeah.
Dude, I'll tell you what, this morning, now we're doing our part this morning for the charity event, the charity endeavor with Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation. This is not good for my diet, though. Whataburger just brought up like 10 bags of honey chicken biscuits and stuff like that. I got to stay in the studio during the break, man.
You know what? That's what the offense was that year, that expansion year where David Carr won that game.
Yeah.
So, or Caleb Williams won that game without doing a whole lot of work. I felt like watching the offense that year, in the four victories that we had, they might as well have been sitting around like you in a lawn chair just chatting. The four victories that we had that year, it might have been the best defense I ever played on, and yet statistically it didn't look that good because there was just no help at all from the offense.
Yeah.
So we won a game where the opponent scored 10 points, won a game where the opponent scored 19 points, another one 14 points, and 19 points.
Okay.
Yeah. It was
wow.
Oh, wait, yeah. No, sorry. 6 points. 6 points.
Okay, that was
not
in
19. Six points.
Six was that Pittsburgh game.
The Pittsburgh one where we had three scores on defense.
Yeah.
Three interceptions, two of them pick sixes.
Pick sixes, yeah. I think
pick six and, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like 30 yards of offense that game.
Yeah.
Won by 18. It was 24-6, right?
It was the lowest yardage by an offense in a victory in NFL history at that point.
Yep. Yeah. Here's Tank Dell. Tank Dell is excited about playing. This is the first time since 2019 that the Texans are going to be playing either a Monday or a Sunday night football game at home this Sunday. Here's Tank Dell.
Definitely, I'm ready, man. I'm built for things like this. I'm built for them type of games. I'm ready. That's all I can say. I'm ready. I'll be ready. I'll be there.
I'm built for things like this. We love you,
built
Tank.
Built for it.
Yeah. We're built.
It's going to be a, it's gonna be a good environment, man. Oh. This is as amped up as a Texans crowd has been. Even, I would say, before the good any of the good Bill O'Brien seasons, there just wasn't the same level of fervor and enthusiasm. I mean, this is about like what it was in at the beginning of 2012, I think, where people had been built up by the surprise really good season in 2011, except that you've got the added element of the whole D'Amico and CJ effect. It's really cool to be a part of, just to experience it.
Yeah, what is, I mean, you just outlined it, that Caleb Williams was doing things in week one that David Carr was doing in week one in 2002, most notably winning, but also very notably not putting up very good numbers. Got to be more nervous about this Bears team offensively than your Texans.
I think
Texas
so. Yeah,
team.
The firepower that they have, including Caleb Williams himself.
Sure,
much like a little bit like we had last week with Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson can kill you with his legs too, which makes it that much harder to play against because you're just constantly, you got your eyes in the backfield while also trying to handle your coverage duties. It's not as much that with Caleb Williams, but he's very, very much capable of making some spectacular throws, and that even on plays where you are doing everything right defensively, Caleb Williams and then his weaponry at wide receiver whether Caleb Williams is good or bad this year, there's a potential for fireworks.
Yes.
So you've got to really be dialed in against him, no matter where he is in his development as a quarterback.
You know what I think of when I think of this, when I think of what you and I are talking about, like, okay, the potential for Caleb Williams to look completely different in week two than he did in week one.
Yeah.
Is I actually think back to Deshaun Watson. And this is not me talking about Deshaun and the things he's being accused of today or making fun of Cleveland. We may do that between now and the end of the show. This is actually a positive thing about Deshaun, where he won his first start, his debut, but it was a game where he didn't do very much. He didn't do very much passing at all. He had one gigantic 47-yard run for a touchdown right before the half against the Bengals, and they won the game 13-9. They were playing the New England Patriots in New England the next week. My guess is the week leading up to that game in New England, they're probably like, yeah, this Deshaun guy can do some things. He won a game. He's a first-round pick. I'm not worried about him torching us for 350 yards. And then he went up to New England and damn near won that football game as a 2-touchdown underdog. playing in an offense that I'm guessing, like, I know that they're going to try to get Caleb Williams to play under center and play a more pro-style offense. The fact of the matter is Caleb Williams is probably at his best when he's improvising and doing things like that, freelancing
right.
A little bit. A little
for
like
now,
Deshaun.
At least.
For now, yeah.
Yeah, he's not a guy that's going to come in and be the architect of just a perfectly executed game plan or anything like that.
Right.
I think that, like, and this isn't even a slight on him, but he's not nearly as advanced mentally as C.J. Stroud was.
No.
Very few quarterbacks are as rookies. I mean, that was just kind of – it was crazy. But C.J. also, look, he took a big leap from week one to week two last year.
Yeah.
If there's a cautionary tale, it's that, you know, C.J. had a lot working against him, but he also – in that first game played a little bit like a rookie at times, where all of a sudden in the second week he had ironed out a lot of those things, and it was playing from a deficit and all that, yada yada yada, but he took a step forward. So with Caleb Williams likewise, I think maybe some of the simple stuff that Caleb Williams was messing up on, some of the dink and dunk stuff that he didn't do well, maybe that, whatever it is, jitters or anything, he claims he hasn't been nervous since his first start in college, whatever. Good for you. Let's see you do it in the NFL. I guess the biggest X factor for me might be Roma Dunze. You know, Roma Dunze had one reception for 11 yards in week one.
Well, he may not play. He had an MRI on his knee yesterday.
Oh, he had an MRI?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I saw he's week to week, so we may not see. I'm with you. If he were playing, he'd be a big concern. He's a good player. And even like Keenan Allen, boy, think of how close the Texans came to getting Keenan Allen. He's even a little banged up. I think he played, but he's banged up right now.
The reports of him being fat in training camp were
Those were fun. Yeah, those were fun.
They kind of brought me back to the old Tony Romo's bat storylines.
Yes, yes. Keenan Allen, man. Here's Will Anderson Jr. yesterday on his first look at the Chicago Bears.
No, since I've watched our tape already, I started watching a little bit of Chicago this morning and seeing what they did and went back and watched some highlights, got on my iPad, man. But I also think it's very just important to look at the game that we just played just to see those mistakes so they won't roll over into this game and knowing the areas that we can get better to rolling into this game. And, yeah, we're excited for the next challenge, man. But, you know, the focus right now is just saying, like, how can we get better? What mistakes did we make right here? And how can we get it better so we won't make those same mistakes going into the next game?
One of the most annoying things as a player is being asked about the upcoming opponent on a Monday, because you spend the whole day going over the film from the week before or from the game the day before. And it's like, you don't usually have a very informed take, even that you're comfortable talking about. Even like Will Anderson said, he's watched them a little bit. But it's, you're like, man, I just got out of a 4-hour meeting. I may have gotten reamed for a few of my mistakes against from week one. I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, what do you want from
Will,
me?
Will feels like the safest one to ask because I feel like he would have already studied ahead. Like, to your point about Caserio, Will feels like he's got notes on the first four opponents already, like in a notebook somewhere.
I don't know. I hesitate to say anything because it sounds like it would be a slight against it. It's just not what's expected. That's not the mode you're in on Monday, right? You're trying to do it. The coach is preaching week by week, like worry about the opponent right now. It's not a bar or a standard that anybody is being held to.
Have you seen?
Like, hey, what do you give me the game plan for? The coaches don't know what the game plan is.
Special work ethic and relentless mindset,
right.
Seth.
Would not include being prepped for the Bears yet.
Special.
Relentless. Would not include being prepped for the Bears
yet. Says you. Says you. important for the donation, someone texts in. Oh, this is about the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation. New books needs to be one word. When you text to 41444, I think I've said that, but maybe I didn't. New books, all one word, N-E-W books, when you text to the Barbara Bush. For those just jumping in. The Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation, we're raising money. We're doing it again this year, and we're raising money for the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation. Texting new books, all one word, to 41444, and all we're looking for is $30, because $30 gets one Houston child a home library of six books, and they get to pick out the books. It's really cool. We go to the event every year where the kids at the school that we're benefiting here get to pick out the books. It's awesome to see. But the numbers that jump out at me, 61% of low-income families in Houston have no books in their home. 60% of Houston area kids enter kindergarten each year lacking the required reading skills. I have a wife who's a first grade teacher, so this is near and dear to my heart. She sees a lot of that where she teaches. So let's get some books in these kids' hands. We improve literacy. We improve a lot of things in our society. Poverty, crime rates, mental health, all of that tied directly to literacy. So $30, and our friends at Reliant are matching all donations, dollar for dollar. So the dollars are doubled right now thanks to Reliant. You donate $30, they donate $30, and we're getting a whole lot of books out there to kids. Donate now. And on the donations you make from hearing it on Sports Radio 610, if you're a Texans fan, put Texans in the little note at the bottom there. Because we're competing with Eric from the Morning Bullpen, who is tragically a Cowboys fan. So he's got his Cowboy fan friends putting Cowboys at the bottom. I'm sure we're quadrupling or quintupling at least the Cowboy fans. But just to send a message to Eric, put Texans. And if you want to put Texans and then suck at Eric in there, that's fine too. But just Texans is fine. Let's get some books in these kids' hands, man. Text new books to 41444. And it's really easy. I just did it and you're on your way. They're out. The power rankings. Power rankings for week two, coming off of week one. How bullish are the national experts on your Houston Texans? We'll do that coming up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
I'm trying to think, as we are about to dig into the power rankings, as we're about to power rank the first set of in-season power rankings in the NFL. I was just looking at some power rankings for MLB, and the Astros were 7th, I think. And not to spoil it, there are one or two here that don't have the Texans quite that high. But generally speaking, right now, the Texans are viewed as a higher-rated football team by the experts in that sport than the Astros are viewed in baseball. And I'm trying to think of last time that's been the case. It's been a while.
Maybe 2020, just when the Astros started off poorly. But even then, I don't know.
Texans went 4-12 that year.
Yeah, that wasn't... I guess, I mean, depending on just the actual record. Yeah, it's not like it was a good Texans year.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of early in the season, though. By that... like early in the COVID season, the Astros were not doing so hot, but yeah, even then, it didn't match up, right?
The last time the Astros were anything other than like a top 5 or 6 team, prior to like last year, like in 2023, they were like between 6 and 10 probably, but the Texans were not that level yet. They were middle of the pack. Maybe 2016, the Brock Osweiler year, and the Astros were kind of middling that year. Yeah, it's been a while since the Texans have played in this end of the pool, you know?
I would say that year at least the Texans made the playoffs.
Right.
But and the Astros did not.
They
so
did not.
Whatever. Yep. That's where they were. That was the last time maybe the Astros and the Texans were on the same caliber throughout the league.
Yeah. But it's been a while, but here we are. So power ranking the power rankings, man. We've got 5 of them we go through here. SI, ESPN, NFL.com, CBS, and The Athletic. The 5th among the power rankings of the power rankings is SI.com, who for some reason still has the Texans at 10th overall. And they say this, I believe it's Connor Orr who does these rankings. At least through one game, the Texans' offseason diagnosis of their team was dead on. Another top flight receiver and the addition of a hammering back with pass catching ability is a total game changer for the evolving CJ Stroud. Stroud worked almost all corners of the field effectively and continues to set himself head and shoulders above the QB class of 2023.
It's hard for me to get offended just because if you look at the teams above the Texans, immediately above the Texans, Cowboys looked pretty dang good. The Rams, overtime victory versus a very good opponent.
Well, they lost.
Overtime loss, yeah. But overtime went down to the wire.
Against Detroit,
On the road, right?
Yes.
So the Ravens, it's hard for me to dredge up a whole lot of indignancy over this, necessarily.
Yeah, that's true, which is going to make these next four we hit even more exciting because the Texans are ahead of some of these teams in the eyes of the experts. So SI.com, fifth in the power ranking of the power rankings. Fourth, ESPN.com. Has the Texans all the way up at sixth? The only teams ahead of the Texans are the Eagles, the Ravens, the Lions, the Niners, and then the Chiefs. The Chiefs are number one everywhere. Here's what DJ Bienemé says about the Houston Texans. The category they have is best newcomer performance. That's an easy one. It was Joe Mixon. Mixon's debut was elite. He ran for 159 yards and a touchdown. Third highest yardage in a game for his career. So that was a career game for Joe Mixon. Didn't matter what front the Colts presented. He ran for 88 yards against the light box, 34 yards against the neutral box, 37 yards against the stack box. Mixon kept the Texans' offense afloat as C.J. Stroud shook off rust and threw for 234 yards, short of his 274-yard average in 2023.
Yeah, I think the rust part, too, where C.J. wasn't going to make any excuses based on the footing or anything, but I thought that on both sides of the ball there for both the Texans and the Colts, I think there was some sloppiness that you could say, all right, there were guys slipping and sliding all over the place. Sometimes it helped the offense out. Sometimes it hurt them. As a Texans fan, I hope to think that at least a little bit of that quote-unquote rust was just field conditions, which they won't have at NRG Stadium. But I thought in terms of the total passing performance by C.J. Stroud, part of it was simply that the Colts were going to try to take away the passing game as much as possible. Yeah. And so the team was able to capitalize on it by running the ball really, really well. And Joe Mixon looked like, I think, the best version of Joe Mixon's scouting report, which was really good vision, runs with power. He's always been a guy that doesn't quite have that extra gear to turn a 15-yard run into a 30-yard run.
Correct.
But in terms of churning out yardage and being big and bruising and all of that, that's exactly what you would hope to get out of Joe Mixon. You just don't want to have to do it for 30 carries a game every single week.
He's the type of back that you win close games with. You know,
when you can close out a game by running the ball.
100%. All right, number three on the power ranking of the power rankings, NFL.com, who also have the Texans at sixth and who have the worst webpage ever as far as navigating it. C.J. Stroud was sacked four times. The defense allowed an unseemly 7 yards per play. And the special teams allowed a block punt deep in its own territory that led to a Colts touchdown. Boy, that sounds awful. Sounds like the Texans must have lost by 10. Nope, they won. NFL.com said, I think it's Eric Edholm, says, that's what I disliked. What I liked was Stroud picking up where he left off. Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs coming up with some huge catches. Joe Mixon turning in his best rushing total since 2021 in his debut for the Texans. Mixon looked as spry as I can remember, or perhaps he's just an ideal fit in this offense. It's fair to wonder how much that will sustain, but this is a dangerous offense when Stroud has time to operate. Defensively, though, some of the same concerns from 2023 have lingered. Whether that part of the team improves could be the difference between a good and a great season this year.
Yeah, that's you know what? I think he pretty much nailed it.
Yeah.
Because the defense, in a lot of ways, picked up where they left off. Where on a down-by-down basis, hey, you're playing some really good defense. Man, Anthony Richardson really didn't have a good game at all on most of his throws, except for that you got gashed by huge plays. And that was the Texans' defense last year. Wow, you guys are doing well. Crap. You let up a big bomb down the middle. They got to figure this out. Yeah. They got to iron this out. Some of the coverage gaffes and some of the big plays that they allow, you're not going to be an elite defense until you figure that out. It's not enough to be good 90% of the time when 10% of the time you're getting gashed.
No. 7 yards a play is a lot.
Yeah.
That's six is a lot. Seven's a ton. Not per attempt, per pass attempt. Seven per pass attempt is kind of, it's not a ton. But seven per play,
And if you do that thing, though, where if you take out the outliers or whatever, like, okay, how? Let's look at all the defenses and subtract the five worst plays they had. I feel like the Texans would have been one of the best defenses in the league last week.
Without question.
You know, they shut down the running back run game. They limited Anthony Richardson with his legs. And yet, those several plays where you let up big plays are a really big deal.
Aside from those big plays, Anthony Richardson averaged under 3 yards per pass attempt, and Jonathan Taylor averaged 3 yards per rush. That is elite.
Which at the end of the day is like saying, hey, Tyreek Hill practiced good birth control 97% of the time.
It's true.
It's just, hey, I wore a condom almost every single time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got way more kids than I want.
Right.
But yeah, for the most part, I was pretty good.
That's right. Good analogy. All right, we're getting down to it. Second in the weekly power rankings of the power rankings, Pete Prisco, CBSSports.com, has the Texans fifth. How about that, Seth? Pete Prisco, noted Texans scourge from time to time. And Stephon Diggs hater, by the way, Pete Prisco, says this, winning the opener on the road against the Colts shows how they are ready to be the hunted. The defense had some issues, but they can be worked out.
I think Prisco's actually generally pretty bullish with the Texans in the last couple years in his power rankings. He's just – Pete has a – I know Pete personally from going way back, from back to my rookie year. He's got a cynical side to him. So he says enough cynical things about every single team in the league that it always feels like he hates your team.
Yeah.
I think it doesn't surprise me that he has the Texans ranked as high as he did. Part of that, where I discount it, is part of it, I think, is just him trying to irk other people. He's
okay.
I'm going to put the Texans above you. Go die.
Yeah.
He's got a little bit of a go die factor.
He's got them fifth. The last one, first place, power ranking of the power rankings. Fourth, The Athletic, I should say, has the Texans fourth overall in their power rankings. The only teams ahead of the Houston Texans are the Buffalo Bills at three. That's interesting. San Francisco at two and Kansas City at one. I feel like Kansas City one, San Fran two is on everybody's sheet. Texans at four. Here's what The Athletic says. Joe Mixon is the league's leading rusher after getting a career-high 30 carries. Wow, that's the first time he's ever had 30 carries, huh? And finishing with a .159. It put him in such a good mood that he declined after the game to take a shot at the team that let him go, the Cincinnati Bengals. Quote, I just want to leave them where they're at, just like where they left me. End quote. That's not a shot at the Bengals. Okay.
I really, with the tone of voice and everything, I don't think it was a shot. They easily, credit to The Athletic for having the journalistic integrity to put that in the proper context and say that it wasn't a
shot. Unlike me.
When you read it, you're like, yeah, the Bengals lost. They look like, oh, boy, they might not actually be the team we thought they were.
Right.
That's not how he intended it. But, yeah, if you want to, just looking at the facts, where it stands after week one, the Bengals maybe have some reason for concern.
Yeah, they let the league's leading rusher go for a seventh-round pick. And they were going to put him out on the curb until Nick Caserio came along and said, no, we'll take him in.
Yeah,
here's a seventh for you. So they got him fourth, man. They got him ahead of the Lions at five, The Athletic does. The Eagles at six. They are living in the lofty atmosphere of the big cheeses up here, man.
I think when you look at the Texans being ahead of Detroit, that is almost exclusively a vote for C.J. Stroud over Jared Goff.
Yeah, because that's a good roster in Detroit.
Yeah, Lions are a very good football team, have been doing it for a couple years now, whereas the Texans just made their surge last year. And I think that people just like C.J. Stroud for good reason more than Jared Goff.
Yeah. That might be the case with the next handful of teams, really. I mean, the Eagles at six, that's a really good roster with a good GM. The Cowboys at seven, I mean, we can make fun of the Cowboys. Yeah. They have a good roster, you know.
Right, yeah. Well, and the Eagles, there's more question marks about just, their defense was a little bit like the Texans in that game. I think down in, down out, played really well, but they had some glaring gaffes as well. But Jalen Hurts almost lost the game for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people look at the upside and the ceiling of C.J. Stroud is higher than Jalen Hurts. But they've got an embarrassment of riches there, just like the Texans do. The Eagles and Texans have quite a few similarities in some regards.
Yep. All right, let's get some kids some books. The Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation, that's our goal for today. We're here to talk sports, but we're also here to raise money. And we've seen a lot of you, I've been told by one of Eric's co-hosts that Texans, suck it Eric is showing up as the note on a lot of $30 donations. That's good. I like to see you guys doing that. But here's why we're here. Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation, raising money so we can get books in the hands of kids who have zero books in their house. 60% of Houston area kids enter kindergarten without the required reading skills, and that's a direct result of 61% of low-income families having no books in their homes. Kids love to read. It's just a lot of kids don't have books. They can't afford books. This is great because $30 is going to get a kid a library of 6 books that they can read. And they get to pick their own books, too. They're not just handed 6 books. The book, the event where they pick the books, there's hundreds and hundreds of books, and they get to pick, and it's really, really cool. But donate right now. Text new books, all one word, to 41444. New books to 41444, and I just did it. It pops right up. It opens up a page where you can push the button for your donation. If you want to donate more, that's great, but I'm just telling you, $30 gets a new home library for one Houston kid, and it's being matched by Reliant this morning. Reliant is matching all donations, so donate now. If you want to buy University of Houston Cougar tickets to the Iowa State game for September 28th, the Cougs are taking half the proceeds of the tickets that you buy to that game when you go to uhcougars.com/odyssey and buy tickets. So there's a lot of ways that you can give. If you're a decision maker with a big business here in town that's looking for a great cause to donate to, we welcome that as well. But most importantly, as we try to get Texan fans to destroy Cowboy fans in the donation off between me and Eric, really us, me and Seth against the morning bullpen. Eric's one of the DJs over there. He's a Cowboys fan. In the note section at the bottom there, just put Texans, suck it Eric. Eric spells it with a K. So,
Yeah, be sure you spell it with a C.
C for Cowboys.
C and two Ks. Do something really exotic and say, make him look like he was born 16 years ago.
There you go. All right. So there you go. Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation texts new books to 41444. Would Texan fans ever pull what Giant fans pulled after their game on Sunday? Take a listen. Next segment, we'll discuss next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast. Hey, quick update, because I know you guys have been listening this morning, and our cluster here is raising a lot of money for the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation. If you want to donate, $30 gets a library of 6 books to an underprivileged kid who doesn't have any books in their home. You can text new books to all one word, new books to 41444 and make a donation. I'm told we're up over $20,000 now already this morning. $20,105 as of 45 seconds ago. So,
no kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
People are getting
I will say, honestly, it is. I do love this cause because for me, just in my life, like the fact that we had a boatload of books laying around the house and back when there was nothing to do electronically, and when it was cold out or anything, you end up picking up a book. And for me, like I credit actually reading for me actually even making it in the NFL at all, because I read a book by Howie Long and like various other people growing up that honestly gave me I felt like it gave me an edge as a young football player in a way that I wouldn't have had otherwise.
It's huge, man.
Just because I like to read.
It's huge. It's huge, and it ripple affects so many, like no books in a house, like ripple affects so many things societally. So, and we appreciate everybody's donations, and we're gonna hit our goals, man. And Reliant is matching this morning, so that's really good too. Text new books to 41444. All one word. I'm told if you do 2 words, it takes you to a Salvation Army page to stop trafficking. Also a worthy cause. But this morning it's new books, one word, to 41444. So appreciate you guys being so generous. So after the Giants lost to the Vikings on Sunday, which continued just a horrific offseason for the Giants. They had the Hard Knocks show that they did that was just a really rough look for a lot of people, ownership, GM, head coach, others. And that has ripple affected into the season here because their quarterback is no good. Daniel Jones is just, He's bad at football. He's thrown more touchdowns since signing his big deal last year. He signed a four-year, $160 million deal. Here's a fun fact for you, Seth. Since signing that deal, he's thrown more touchdowns to the other team than he's thrown to his own team.
More, not just interceptions, no, but actual touchdowns.
Pick sixes.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh. Three pick sixes, two touchdowns, because he was injured all last year.
If you added the one from the preseason, it's even worse to Jalen.
I forgot about that one.
That was in a special dagger to Giants fans, because that was just yet a, yeah, it's the preseason, but it was a really stupid pick six.
It was so
There's
bad.
No excusing it whatsoever. That was his bad, probably actually worse than Will Levis's pick six.
Yeah.
Just a really, really dumb throw.
Just stupid. So they lost 28-6 to the Vikings, who are not supposed to be good themselves this year. But Sam Darnold was really good. He was 19-24 for over 200 yards. He was very solid. And they win 28-6. They beat the Giants. After the game, here's what it sounded like. There's a tunnel that comes out to the parking lot where fans can sort of stand and wait for players to come out and walk back to their cars. And this is what it sounded like when Daniel Jones walked out of that tunnel to go back to his car.
Daniel, I need a million. I need a million. I need a million, Daniel. I need a mil, Danny. I need a mil. Give me a mil. You suck.
I mean, these people are 4 feet away from him. Just
The thing is, I think even if the sentiment was the same in Houston, the average mentality and behavior of New York sports fans a little bit different than your average Houstonian.
Right.
So, like, I don't. People felt that way about Brock Osweiler.
Yes.
But I don't think he was ever lambasted quite like that.
No, he was lucky. He was on a team that was winning, at least. You know, they at least went 9-7 that year.
Closest they ever came, maybe, was when Jim Mudd was walking around Radio Row in a barrel.
It said Assweiler on it.
Assweiler. Oh, it wasn't even Trashweiler.
I think it was Assweiler, yeah.
He was shirtless in a barrel walking around Radio Row.
Yes. It's crazy, man. Well, you know what? The closest... Remember, Fred Davis was the one who reported this. This was before I got here in 2014.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Davis, when Fred Davis was a host here, he reported that there were people, I think he reported as Matt Schaub got accosted at his house, but I think technically they were standing in his front yard, you know, verbally haranguing him or whatever. There were people getting up in Matt Schaub's business, private, you know.
They were, in the end, you know what, there was a lot of stuff on social media, like there was the restaurant that was kind of taking a shot at him somehow. Yeah. So that was somebody had put a for sale sign in his yard. Yeah. That's what there was a lot of ugliness there. Yeah. Okay. So we're not exempt. We can't necessarily. Now that was just a few, just as it was in that audio we just played. Who knows?
We're not perfect.
Just a few, but it was pretty rough for Schaub.
Yeah. We're not perfect here. I don't
Schaub at least had gotten it based on previous results.
Yeah.
Whereas Daniel Jones, it was like 2/3 of one season that he had done anything at all.
And oh, his money?
Saquon Barkley was...
Yeah.
When he got his contract.
Yeah.
It was because, based on previous results, like a longer track record of results, I think, than it had been for Daniel Jones.
Hey, Danny, give me a million! Give me a milli!
And they had... I mean, that Hard Knocks offseason was such a rough look for Joe Shane, because he was doing anything and everything to convince everybody in the organization, including the owner, that Saquon Barkley just wasn't actually that good and wasn't going to be good, and nobody else... That was the big thing. Nobody else in the league would want him. Specifically, there's a clip there where he specifically says there's no way the Eagles would want Saquon Barkley. Yeah.
There's no way the Eagles would pay Saquon above market to come to Philadelphia at all.
And then when one of the other people in the Giants, one of the directors of scouting, was kind of just throwing it out there like, hey, I don't know, you know, you think no team's going to want to trade for Saquon Barkley? And Joe Shane says, oh, boy, I just don't want to go through that again. It took years off my life.
That might be That might end up being the first Hard Knocks season I ever go back and rewatch. Is that Giants offseason Hard Knocks?
Hard Knocks giveth and taketh away. Yeah. In the past, Bill O'Brien benefited from Hard Knocks. Yeah. I thought his reputation was improved by Hard Knocks.
Yep.
Where you can remember the coach of the Falcons at the time.
Mike Smith?
Mike Smith.
Yeah.
Mike Smith looked rough in it. He looked a lot like Joe Shane.
Yeah.
He just looked like, oh, this is the guy? Like, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Remember Joe Philbin when the Dolphins had Hard Knocks? Joe Philbin.
Yeah.
That was not a good
Joe Philbin, likewise. If you don't have a classic football guy persona, it comes out because it's not what people are expecting. There's plenty of I don't think Tony Dungy would have looked good necessarily in a Hard Knocks. People would have been like, "Oh boy, I don't know about this." Obviously, Tony Dungy was a great coach, but when it comes to the PR side of things, I don't think it would have been good for him if he had a rough season after that.
O'Brien was pulled out of central casting to be on Hard Knocks.
Yeah,
he was the man on Hard Knocks. John Lopez, Reggie Atatula are here, gentlemen.
Howdy.
How are you guys doing?
Terrific. So good this morning, and it's because of your partner, Seth Payne.
Oh, yeah?
Seth, I gotta appreciate you, say thank you to you, because you put me on Free Game, and you changed my life this morning, and you don't even know you did. And you want to know how?
Do. Yeah.
NFL Pro? Word?
Yeah.
Like, I've had the NFL app and, you know, that premium or whatever for a few years. I would go and watch the full All-22 video. Like, I'd be running that back, and it's like an hour and a half long, and then if
and
you
it's
run
cumbersome.
Back, yes.
It is cumbersome to go find what you want to find.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Buddy, this morning when I heard that, I was like, hold on. I pulled out my laptop, and I was the happiest gentleman ever. I was like, okay, I can just go look at individual plays, and I can search it up and go, hey, let me look. I watched all the Damian Pierce runs three times over just because I could.
Because you could.
Right. Yeah. Because, you know, you dial it up. This is more along the lines of what they have in NFL offices where you can say, okay, I want to watch every third down from that game. Boom.
Yeah.
It's there. All of them in a line, and it plays. Yeah, I want to watch every Damian Pierce run. Boom. And you see all three of his runs, the end zone copy, the sideline copy. It's really, really good. This is the first time I've given an actual hearty endorsement. I'm not getting paid yet. But I've hated that service for 10 years because it's so glitchy. The NFL as a monopoly still has all the hallmarks of why monopolies are bad.
That's right.
You cannot lodge a complaint. You can give them your money, but you can't lodge a complaint, send an email or anything to NFL.com customer service. And yet, they've figured out a way to actually do something I'm happy about for the first time in 10 years. It's awesome. It's really good.
How much is the service?
I want to say, I honestly don't remember it. That is one of those.
You guys don't even pay attention.
I get charged every year auto bill. I want to say it's like $90 or something.
The Game Pass was $99, I want to say. The old Game Pass was $99.
I think you automatically get the NFL.
Do you?
This is the other thing, the NFL, they're just so annoying. They announced that there's this new way to watch the All-22.
Yeah.
But then you gotta seek down how to get to the website.
Oh,
there's not an easy click or anything. You gotta click on a news release and then go. If you go to pro.nfl.com.
Yeah, you get it with the NFL Plus premium package.
Okay.
And I don't remember exactly how much that is. I wanna say that might be $15 a month or something like that. Yep, $15 a month.
Yeah.
And it's just worth it. Plus, you also get Red Zone with it, right? So if you're one of those people that's that does not have the Red Zone with your TV package or whatever.
Okay.
Then you end up with Red Zone.
For the 3 Sundays I can use it, I'll be really psyched about it.
Well, I mean, put it on a tablet, right?
In the press box there. I suppose you're right. But Reggie, I've got a post game show to do afterwards, and I've got to pay attention to the Texans.
Got those Pender notes.
Not
to take.
The Vikings and the Giants. I got Pender notes. People want my curse words. All right.
I saw that, and it made me smile. So I appreciate you doing
that. Okay, good. All right. We are done. We're out of time. We're raising a lot of money for books today, man.
We are, and we're going to talk about that for sure.
Yeah, hey, you guys need to tell your listeners, okay? I was on the morning bullpen this morning with Eric and Mo and George, and Eric is a Cowboys fan.
Is he now?
Yeah. Yuck, right?
Yeah.
But he kind of issued the challenge of his Cowboy fans versus our Texan fans and raising more money. So I told, if we have Cowboy fans that listen and you can donate money, that's great. You can put Cowboys at
you
the bottom
donate
on your little
money.
Note. Yeah. They want us to have our Texan fans put Texans as the label at the bottom there where you can put notes. I said put Texans, suck it, Eric.
Suck it, Eric.
Suck it, Eric. Yeah.
Hashtag suck it, Eric.
Hashtag whatever you want to do. So put Texans suck it, Eric at the bottom. Apparently, it's resulted in a big, huge rush of donations.
Oh, fun!
All
right,
right.
And of course, and if of course you mean that is like go suck an egg is how Sean means it.
Yeah, yeah, it is an egg. Sorry, pronouns. Yes. Yeah, suck an egg, Eric. Yeah, yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Well, negativity for charity is always my type of.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Reggie, a warning though. Just this is one thing I learned a long time ago. When once you start diving in on the All 22 hardcore, you got to be careful that you don't end up sounding too much like Mike Mayock. You got to remember that you got a personality. Yeah. So like Mike Mayock, I love his analysis and everything, but like yeah, for radio, you gotta juice it up. So usually, what I'll do after a hardcore All 22 session is I make sure I watch some kind of comedy for at least 5 minutes to kind of reset.
I like
to be
that.
Like, oh yeah, be a human being. Be a human being. Yeah,
I appreciate. That you think that I'm going to do hardcore All 22 watching.
We don't need you.
It doesn't. It seeps in. You don't even realize it.
You don't even know what's
happening.
All of a
sudden, you're like, well, I got to break down what cover 6 looked like on this. Most radio listeners don't really want that while they're driving through traffic.
It's like an edible. You're like, I feel nothing. I feel nothing. All right. We're done. We're out of time. Seth, I'll see you tomorrow. Antibodies to you, my friend.
Yeah, antibodies and suck an egg, Eric.
That's right. Eggs. All the eggs.
Suck an egg.
My God.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.